approximately 5:15. We've got just a couple of items on our agenda. First of all, House File Number 322, Senator Jungbauer, dealing with joint custody. This is a bill that is, let's see, is this a late bill?
Yes.
It's a late bill, so it needs committee sanction to move on further. Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Yes, House File 322 is a late bill, and it got late. We came up with something to move forward in the Senate side, and the House had a huge bill that folks on the Senate side didn't agree to the same kind of a that size of a bill moving forward. So when the House passed that one, my understanding is when we sent it over here, then it got called back to Judiciary Committee because it was significantly different and much larger than our bill that we had heard in Judiciary before. And so once we brought it back to Judiciary, it became late at that point. And perhaps Senator Limmer could talk about the specifics, but that's my understanding of it was a timely bill until that point when we brought it back to Judiciary because it was significantly different than our Senate file that left Judiciary.
Okay. Any questions of Senator Jungbauer? If not, the motion is to waive Joint Rule 2.03 for House File 322 for the remainder of the proceedings of the bill. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bach. And further discussion? All in favor then say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed nay. And the motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
A little easier to veto override.
That is fun.
Trust you. Next, interim travel expenses and per diem.
You trust John.
There's a memo that included in your folder, members. And is Ms. Lunzer here? Don't mind.
Stop it. Mr. Chair, members, I'll introduce myself for the tape, Eileen Lunzer, Fiscal Services. What you have before you is the interim expense letter. The only things, we have a couple different changes from last interim. One of the changes being that the mileage is at 55.5 cents as of January 1st. The other change is because it's an election year, members usually choose, or the Rules Committee chooses, to take the constituent service miles and stop it. And this year, stopping it as of June 1st for a member who has filed for office. And as soon as the election is done, November 6th, you certainly can put in for that expense. But those are the two changes. I'm sorry, there is one other change, the out-of-state travel. The reimbursement for members, leadership has decided for members and staff, has been disallowed till 2013.
We did that last year, too.
So I will stand for any questions on the expense letter.
I'd ask. I don't know.
Mr. Chairman? Senator Limmer.
Well, Mr. Chair, I had a question regarding the travel expenses.
Yes.
And the time that they would not be recognized. That's even despite the fact that we have legitimate business to pursue.
I think the only thing, Senator, or Mr. Chairman, Senator Limmer, is that we're stopping would be the constituent service miles. But if you have a legitimate committee meeting that you're going to have proper authorization because you're a chair, able to go, you certainly could put that in for consideration.
Mr. Chair, what about
Senator Limmer?
Often I might get a call from, let's say, the county board in Hennepin County. It's 14 miles from my house. Is that an expense that I could claim when I'm talking about intergovernmental relations?
Ms. Lunzer.
You could, Senator, but we would need a written authorization anytime you leave here at the state capitol or the state office building. We need an authorization signed by committee chair and leadership.
All right. I'm trying to think of other, Mr. Chair, I'm trying to think of other mileage, like a city council meeting. Perhaps sometime during the year they may want to sit down and talk about legislative proposals that we should be considering, planning sessions, things like that, where it would be important to have a senator there. Would that also go through the same?
It would go through the same authorization
protocol
process.
Ms.
Yes.
Lunter.
All right.
Senator Bach?
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Lunter, why not, instead of June 1st, why not the date that filings close? I actually have on my calendar Monday, June 4th is the day I'm going to file. Put it on my calendar.
Yeah.
Why not at the end of filings rather than pick a kind of an arbitrary date of June 1st?
Right. Mr. Chairman, Senator Bach, we did discuss this. I had a conversation with Mr. Bodern and Mr. Matzik on this, and we thought for the sake of maybe the easiness of knowing that June 1st is a good date, we can just go for it from that, and that if we are out this next week, that you'd have a little time till May 31st in order to do some constituent service miles, and then cut it off as of June 1st to the day after election.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Bach,
I'm going to a ribbon cutting on the boat launch, and the City of Two Harbors have asked me to come to and speak on June 1st. That's why I know June 1st is a Friday.
Ms.
That
Hunter?
Is legitimate constituent services. I'm sorry to Senator Limmer's point, but I'm not saying we should extend it to into the election season, but I think until the filings are closed is reasonable. But
Senator Limmer?
Mr. Chair, I kind of recall there's a date certain when we no longer recognize publications that would be informative to our voters. I don't know when that date is. At one time it was 60 days after the last day of session. I don't know what that date is now, but anything that we printed for information or constituent service by mail or through whatever publication, we would recognize that as a date. So now do we have two different dates now that we're recognizing in law? Or I just think it kind of adds to confusion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator
I don't know,
Limmer,
maybe council can give us an idea of when that date might be, but I don't recall.
Do you have any thoughts? Well, the question, I think, Mr. Bodern, or perhaps Senator Limmer can restate it, we have June 1st here, and we've also got another date that has to do with the our ability to use Senate services for some constituent needs which might be regarded as political. Is that in essence?
Right. I don't know what that difference is. At one time it was 60 days after the last day of session, and if it's good for that, why wouldn't it be good for legitimate travel expenses?
Mr. Bonner,
Mr. Chairman, and Senator Limmer, I guess the couple of things I can tell you is your understanding of the Senate policy on constituent services is correct. There's a 60-day cutoff after adjournment sine die, so obviously we don't know the exact date that will be, but you have some sense of it. What I can also tell you is that the last time this memo on travel expenses was approved in an election season, the cutoff date selected there was June 1st of 2010. I wasn't privy to the thinking at that time, but obviously there's a relationship with respect to the August primary that existed for the first time there. I don't know that the Senate policy on 60 days after adjournment sine die has been revisited since the August primary.
Senator Roebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, in light of the Senate's budget problems, I mean, we know we don't have much money, and the fact that it is a big election year, and we can use campaign funds to get reimbursed when we do these types of services, whether it would be going to visit a city council or going to a groundbreaking or something like that. I think that it might be appropriate at least no sooner. I mean, it shouldn't go any longer than the filings period. I would almost think it should start with the filing period, that, just to put everybody on an even keel in a way, although we do have some official business that we have to attend to with our city and county and local officials sometimes. But the other things would be things that maybe aren't necessary but are good to be at for campaign purposes.
Mr. Bonner, are you aware of, and maybe Senator Bach helped us, campaign filing date is it June 4th this year?
Ends the 5th.
I believe it's the 5th.
It starts the 22nd, May.
Just thinking from a policy perspective, whether that might not be a good day.
Well,
I mean, that's kind of
when the campaign starts.
When it starts up and you're in a different mode, maybe.
All right, make the motion.
I can't.
You make the motion.
What do you want, June 4th?
Or after June 5th.
Okay, I'll also move to get this thing.
Okay, there's a motion then to move the date from June 1st to June 6th. Further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay, and that amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Limber.
Thank you. Secretary wanted to say something.
Mr. Chairman, may I be allowed to bring up one more item?
Sure.
And it is not included in here.
Secretary Luther.
This is about NCSL and the National Conference on State Legislatures. I'll tell the bit of the story. 2 years ago, collective leadership of both the House and the Senate, both parties, made a bid to be the host of the 2014 NCSL National Conference. This is a big deal. Thousands of folks visiting Minneapolis in the summer of 2014. In order for us to end that commitment has been renewed, I understand, by both the House and the Senate. In order for us to accomplish this, we will have to send some senators and a few staff to Chicago, Illinois, late summer of this year. And this travel exclusion sort of makes that a little more difficult. I don't want to find any other way to pay for those expenses. I can't tell you exactly how many of those are needed. NCSL staff has visited Minnesota to inform us about what we need to do to prepare for that. They will do it again. But the expectation is that we learn from attendance in Chicago in 2012 and a bigger participation in the National Conference in 2013. Mr. Bodern, I think, is working on a little language, if the committee is so choose to allow this. Chicago isn't a far distance, but it's it would take some travel expense.
Thank you, Senator. Yes. Consul Bodern, do you have some thoughts, maybe even some language that we might think about?
Mr. Chairman, I think the language could be relatively straightforward. On page 2, the paragraph that begins with the highlighted language, out-of-state travel reimbursement. If you look at that sentence, you could amend it to read, out-of-state travel reimbursement for members and staff has been disallowed until January 1st, 2013, comma, with the exception of travel reimbursement approved by the chair of the Committee on Rules and Administration related to attendance at meetings of the National Conference of State Legislatures.
You heard some language, members. Is there anyone that wants to offer that as an amendment?
I'll so move.
Motion by Metz and Senator Bach.
I wonder, Mr. Chairman, if we shouldn't put some limitation on that so that you don't get 67 requests to go to the NCSL. It might make your job a little difficult. I mean, I don't know how many we need, but if we need
65.
3 or 4 or how many members we need to go.
Secretary Lubna?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bach, that is it's 4 to 5 actual members, 2 to 3 staff.
I'm fine with it the way it is. I just think it might make it a little easier for you.
Say up to 5.
There's
people went to college in
Chicago. We could take that I could take it as guidance if in fact I'm in this position in July, but. Or we can just simply offer as a motion. You want to expand your amendment a little bit, Senator?
Up to 5 or up to 10 or something.
You could say, Mr. Chair, you could say up to 5 staff members and up to 5 senators. 4, however this language is, but add that somewhere in there.
We'll extend that to then up to 5 senators, legislators, senators, I guess in this
senators.
Case.
Senators.
And 4 staff members. That's sufficient.
Six and four?
No.
That work?
Five.
Why do you want as many staff people as you do elected officials?
Five and five?
Five and five. Because it just says up to, Mr. Chair, okay. So...
So,
there can be some
extremely
that's fine. It's not worth. But I think if you want to send people, it should weigh a little heavier on elected people, not staff. But I guess I'm losing the fight here. So, and it's not a big fight. So I'm willing to lose it.
The chair can use guidance.
Yeah.
So, as friendlily amended, all in favor of the amendment to allow some travel to the NCSL Chicago meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. And that is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Now, with respect to the motion, we'd simply need a motion to adopt the interim travel expenses per diem memo as amended. Any further questions on it? Discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. And that is adopted. And then lastly, resolution related to the conduct of Senate business during the interim between sessions. There's a document here as well. To get it going, we simply need a motion to adopt Senate Resolution Number 40-1. Might there be such a motion?
So moved. Yeah.
So moved. Second. Well, we don't need a second. Okay. Fishbach moves. Any discussion on it?
Mr. Chair, I have the A2 amendment.
We have the A2 amendment offered by Senator Bach.
Mr. Chairman, I'll speak to it as it's coming around. It's pretty simple. It's two lines. It says, except that the payment of any costs relating to or derived from litigation must be approved by the Committee on Rules and Administration. And as we all know, we got this outstanding litigation out there, and the Rules Committee is the administrative committee of the Senate. And I think those payments for invoices from the attorneys or any potential should come in front of the Rules Committee. We're going to be dealing with this, I mean, maybe for several years. I don't know how litigation plays out and appeals play out and all that. And I think if the Rules Committee should have a record of what's being expended, and I think we all ought to bear some responsibility for that as the full Senate that's being sued. And I think it's, I mean, if I was the majority leader, I don't think I would want the authority to make what may be very significant payments to attorneys for litigation. I think I would want the Rules Committee involved and informed in that process. And I don't know if any's been expended yet. I don't know the answer to that, but we're certainly at some point going to get invoices for this, and we all ought to be involved in that.
Secretary Lubman, could you, the essence of what we have is to the effect is that any bid or contract in excess of $10,000 shall be approved by the chair of the Rules Committee. Is that in essence? I think that's in essence, that I read quickly, the sense of what we have in the original language. And
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, they basically contract payments are made by after authorization by the chairman of the Rules Committee and another designee of the Rules Committee. Traditionally, that is the minority leader. That's sort of like the purchase of a copying machine. If it's over $10,000, this is a little different than a contract. It is a representation letter, as you know, that we have an attorney working on the behalf of the Senate. But certainly to be well beyond the $10,000 number already, of which no invoices have yet been received.
Secretary Ludeman, as on any of these, irrespective of what's going on right now, it would suggest then that any costs, I'm just thinking about the flow here, it would seem like if you had at least a monthly payment, we'd even during their interim then have to get together on some scheduled basis at least to approve that bill, if we wanted to be timely at least. Am I scoping that correctly? According to what's being suggested, except that payment of any costs, $10 or $10,000, relating to the to or derived from litigation must be approved by the committee. So it seems like fairly frequent committee schedule, at least in some cases, depending on what's going on out there.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
And the members of the committee, I think that is a potential. This does reverse a bit the intentions of the more traditional resolution, which is an authorization for the secretary to pay those expenses. This one says the secretary will pay those expenses after it is approved proactively by the Rules Committee. That is the major difference. It's a more of a burden on the Rules Committee. If it's about transparency, that is one, or there are perhaps other ways to deal with that if it is about actual authorization. My only concern is that if it is taking it one step away from a Senate's willingness to pay its bills, I don't think that's certainly the intent of this amendment.
Senator Ruttman?
So it is a burden on the Rules Committee, but you have to decide whether you want that burden.
Senator Ruttman.
For our counsel, aren't all already costs relating to or derived from litigation approved by the Rules Committee through its budget? Wouldn't they be included? Any expense would be included in the budget?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Ruttman.
I'm sorry, Counsel Butler.
I think what you're looking at on lines 3.6 to 3.7 is the language that would govern any payment in excess of $10,000. There is a Senate budget in place, but payments from that budget for those amounts are required to go through the current approval process.
Senator Ruttman?
And so, Mr. Chair, is it just the amount that then that would change with this amendment?
Mr. Broderick.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Ruttman, it's the process necessary for approval under that provision. Currently, it's the chair of the Committee on Rules and another member designated by the chair, which has customarily been the minority leader in all instances that I'm aware of. And this would change it to require approval by the Committee on Rules Administration with respect to litigation expenses.
But Mr. Chair.
Senator Ortman.
My question is, under current practices, any expense would be included in a budget that would then have to be approved at some point by the Rules Committee. Is that correct?
Mr. Broder?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, and I may not be. It is true that the Rules Committee approves a budget. However, the language in this resolution, which has been in place in past interims, relates to approval of payment from that budget. And although it doesn't require the full Rules Committee to do it, does have a process in place before those payments can be made. This is simply changing how that payment process would occur.
Right. And
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, that is my point, is that we already bring these issues within our budget to the Rules Committee, and the Rules Committee is approving them, so I'm not sure that this is needed. I think that, you know, the effort is to create more transparency, but I think there's already sufficient transparency.
Well, Senator Bach?
Mr. Chairman, the current practice is we pass a budget, but if the Secretary is going to spend more than $10,000 on a copy machine or a contract, our simple approval of budget is not adequate, doesn't permit that, him to make that expenditure. It requires the chair and one other member to approve that, in addition to the previous action that the Rules Committee took. I'm uncomfortable being the designated person to sign off on the payment of attorney bills relative to this litigation. I'm assuming I'm probably going to be back here next year. I'm assuming I'll probably be on this committee. If I was a committee member on this committee and I came back here this year and found out that we had spent, I don't know, pick a number, $200,000 or something on the payment of attorney fees, and those decisions to pay that were made only by the majority leader and one other person. If I was a Rules Committee member, I think I'd be a little concerned about that, and I personally don't want to be the person responsible to tell the next Rules Committee, oh, by the way, we spent $200,000 or $250,000 on attorney fees over the course of the summer and the fall. I just think it would be helpful if all of us were in the loop about that so that we all understood what the mounting costs of is. I mean, the public's going to know anyway. I just think it's helpful for all of us to be kind of in that process as we go forward. It's not that the current process will hide anything from the public. I believe that transparency is there. I just think for all of us to know cumulative what it's costing is, I'm a little uncomfortable signing off on behalf of all of you.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I think that there's probably more efficient ways for us to be kept in the loop than to have us all come down here for a meeting. And I do get, I think it does delay. I think Secretary Ludeman pointed out that it may delay us or potentially prevent us from paying bills that we would owe, and I understand it could potentially get expensive, but I don't know if this is necessarily the way to handle this. If we want to have everybody in the loop, I think there's probably more efficient ways of informing people other than having us all come down here for a meeting.
Well,
maybe over and over and over throughout the summer.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bach.
Mr. Secretary, have we received any invoices relative to this litigation yet?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Bach,
we have not received an invoice. We are soon to, however, for the first 3 months of legal activity on behalf of the lawyer.
Mr. Chairman, I don't.
Senator Bach.
If we're going to be billed quarterly, and I don't remember what that letter says where we entered into an arrangement with the attorney, but I mean, if we're only going to build quarterly, I think we're probably only talking about potentially two Rules Committee meetings between now and after the election. I don't think that's a big burden for everybody to kind of keep everybody in the loop here. And I'll just say this wasn't my idea. Someone else shared this with me, and I think it's a better discussion for us to have here in this committee as committee members than it is to have on the floor of the Senate as an amendment there. So if people have ideas about how we could make it work better, I'm not necessarily wed to the language. It's not mine. But I am uncomfortable signing off on behalf of all of the rest of you for what could be significant encumbrances of money out of the Senate budget.
Secretary Ludeman, as it reads now, if you were going to enter into a contract in excess of $10,000, I guess you'd have some sense of what that contract is. I don't know about a legal contract. Maybe it's written in terms of a threshold amount, but I think typically they're hourly rates, perhaps. I'm trying to think whether this, the language that we currently have would address a situation along the lines of a legal contract that we, or at least arrangement that we have with our current lawyer.
Mr. Chairman, we would not approve that, I don't believe,
as this language is written. I'm not sure it's a contract.
Mr. Chairman, I'm a little afraid that my view of that is maybe a distinction that is not much of a difference. It is a representation letter, but we understand what the rate is. We will understand how many hours have been performed on behalf of the Senate. It is probably a de facto contract as much as a actual signed contract. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that it's as close to a contract as other service contracts, for example, for some of our technology or similar arrangements.
Mr. Chair, and possibly Mr. Bodern can help me out. I'm reading this again, and it says except that that payments of any cost relating to. So this would be an invoice for $5, the way I'm reading it. That seems a bit excessive.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, that's my point. I'm not necessarily wed to the language, but I mean, I'm fine with modifying it so that we say invoices over $10,000 is fine with me, because I think they're going to be over that. Clearly, this first one's going to be, and if we get billed quarterly, they're certainly going to be over that. I'm not trying to tie the hands of the secretaries who can't buy paper clips here, but I do think the costs related to this, and I'm fine with some kind of additional language there that mirrors what we have above. The $10,000 threshold is actually fine with me if that makes people more comfortable. But.
Secretary, or maybe Ms. Lunzer, I'm remembering a discussion several years ago, or maybe two or three or four, where the committee was wanting information about what the expenses of the Senate were. Seemed like it was hard to get on a kind of a regular basis, and it seemed to me that there was a document which may come out quarterly, perhaps to the leaders or all of the committee members or all of the Senate. I'm not sure. Would that or could not that be a vehicle for, if that is an expense of the Senate, what we're talking about here, could it be reflected in that document?
Mr. Chairman, members, yes, you do receive as leadership a report, a quarterly report, and that certainly could be included in that, any kind of, you're saying any kind of litigation costs, Mr. Chair?
Mr. Counsel Bodern's got, perhaps we have language around what requires that even.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, remember, just as a matter of information, it's Rule 51.5 requires on the 15th day of April, July, and October, and January, the Secretary shall submit a detailed report of Senate expenditures during the previous quarter to the Committee on Rules.
Mr. Chairman, there's no question that you could simply hear right now that any future quarterly report would have a specific line item for litigation cost. I mean, that is a reporting mechanism. What happens on a monthly basis may be not as important. What happens in a major payment is what you're probably most interested in, the amount. I'd be less able to tell you what you got for your money because I don't want it to reveal some of the activities of our attorney and as it relates to preparation for a lot of documentation about a lot of things. But that's not a bad suggestion, but I don't know if it's satisfactory to the committee. As a line item in that quarterly report that you have received, you just received an April 15th report, that you received on a Monday after the Saturday, which was the 15th. But there was no line item on that one because no invoice had been sent or spent, but certainly the next one could, or we could make a public reporting requirement as those invoices are felt. Senator Bach is responding, I think, to the actual practice of the over $10,000 payments being made that does require both signatures. And he has proposed one method of authorization. I don't have an immediate idea on any other quicker method or of authorization either. Mr. I don't know. Possibly, Mr. Chairman, to expand the number for this specific purpose only to four signatures of the Rules Committee or something like that. It may be easier for me to get signatures than gather the entire Rules Committee for meetings. But that's
Chairman. Senator Metzen.
Why don't we... unless Senator Bach wants to pursue it all the way tonight, why don't we kind of work on it over the next 2-3 days and then Monday, if we can reach some kind of an agreement.
Senator Metzen, I'm thinking the same thing. This requires a little thought. It seems to me maybe there's if it's the information, maybe the vehicle for providing the information is already part of our Senate rules. if it's...
Personally, I don't think it's a bad idea to, if it's big numbers like that to look at it, but I don't think we're going to reach a thing here tonight, in my opinion.
Senator Metzen, are you suggesting we lay it on the table for...
Yeah, what I get my dear, close, personal friend, Senator Bach. Now, if he doesn't like that idea, then I reserve.
Was that all right?
Okay.
I would suggest is that.
Okay. There would be a motion to lay this amendment on the table for the time being. All in favor say
Senator
aye.
Senator Sanjum, I think there might be he may need to withdraw the amendment, and then if we move, Mr. Bodern, if you have a different
Council
suggestion.
Bodern?
I'll withdraw the A2.
Okay, so the amendment's withdrawn. So now we're back to the original resolution.
And Mr. Chair, I got the impression that Senator Metzen said we could pass it to the floor and maybe deal with it. Was that, maybe I'm all wrong, but that's what I was kind of hearing is if we were going to deal with it on the floor, or do you want to come back here and deal with it?
I think the intent was to lay resolution 40 on the table. And the Rules Committee is going to meet again anyway.
Before we go home. There will then be a meeting with Senator Metzen that the entire resolution 40.1 be laid on the table. Otherwise, we'd go back.
We can do that, all of that stuff we agree on, right? Is that what you're saying, or whatever?
Well, we'll probably have another Rules Committee meeting if we want to save it. And otherwise, this goes to the floor for approval. And
is that what you'd like to get that there right away anyway?
Well, I don't think it's necessary right now, is it? We can always have another quick Rules Committee if we have
That's
to
what I'm thinking.
Up,
yeah, let them work on that other quickly, language.
Okay. Metzen moves that 40.1 be laid on the table. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay, and it is on a table, and I believe that's the business of the day. I would suggest this meeting is adjourned.